This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Exodus. Please open your Bibles and let's join Pastor Sandy as he teaches through Exodus chapters 25 through 27.
Every detail of the tabernacle spoke of who? Spoke of Jesus. And the menorah is no exception. You remember, Jesus said not only that he was the bread of life, he also called himself the light of the world. And not just the light, but while on earth, Jesus was the only light of the world. And of course, in the tabernacle, there was only one source of light, and that was that menorah. And notice the lampstand was made out of hammered gold. Jesus also was certainly hammered, wasn't he? He was hammered and nailed to the cross. Nails were hammered into his hands and into his feet. He was rejected on earth. He is no longer visible, but he still shines in heaven's tabernacle. And he shines in the hearts of those who walk in the power of the Spirit. Well, verse 36 tells us, "Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold." It's interesting, in Revelation chapter 1, John sees seven lampstands in heaven, which represent the seven churches. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he called his church the light of the world. He was the light of the world while he was here. Today, we are the light of the world. We need to be shining the love and the truth of God into this dark world. Verse 39 tells us that the lampstand shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. Now, a talent was a measurement that equaled to 100 pounds. And so a talent of gold, 100 pounds of gold, was set apart for the lampstand and for its utensils. 100 pounds of gold at $400 an ounce would make the lampstand worth today about $640,000. Be an expensive piece of furniture. Here's one more piece of furniture in the holy place, the altar of incense. And it's set just in front of the veil that entered the Holy of Holies. But we don't get to that until we get to chapter 30. Verse 40 sums up God's instructions to Moses, "And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." Now, chapter 26 describes three courts of the tabernacle: an outer court, an inner court, which was called the holy place, and an innermost court, which was known as the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies occupied the Ark of the Covenant, possessed the Ark of the Covenant, over which the glory of God actually shone. God starts here the construction of the holy place. He talks about the tent, the frame, and the series of coverings that went over the holy place. The blueprints work their way out from the inside out. He begins, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them." In other words, you go into the holy place, go into the tabernacle, and there you look up and you see these curtains with these embroidered angels on them. You see angels all around you, which I got a feeling is what we'll see when we get to heaven. "The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits," that's 42 feet, "and the width of each cubit 4 foot, or 4 cubits, which was 6 feet. And every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. Together these drapes would be 42 foot by 60 foot. Verse 4 describes how these colorful linens were connected. "And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the selvage," or the corner of one set, "and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another," and by the time you get through, you'll be a little loopy. "And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps so that it may be one tabernacle. Notice the lesson here. There were many parts, but there was just one tent. And isn't that true of the body of Christ today? That we are many members, but we're really just one body in Christ Jesus. Well, this colorful linen curtain was the innermost layer on the holy place. But on top of that went three more layers. First of goat's hair, second of ram's skin, and third of badger skin. Verse 7, you shall also make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. Goat's hair was black and coarse. It had the appearance of felt. And so the colorful linen was covered by a dark, ugly coat of goat's hair. You shall make 11 curtains. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, 45 feet, and the width of each curtain, 4 cubits or 6 feet, and the 11 curtains shall all have the same measurements. Now, the second layer was just a little larger than the linen lining. All 11 curtains together totaled 45 feet by 65 feet. It kind of overlapped the linen underlining. Verse 9, and you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is on the outermost in one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain on the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps. Put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. Clasps that held the linen together were made of gold. And these clasps for the outer curtain were made of bronze. Now the remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle, and a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtains of the tent, you shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. These outer curtains will have a little bit of overlap in order to protect the tabernacle. Now verse 14. You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent. And ram skin looked like sort of fine leather. So you've got this red leather on top of this felt-looking goat's hair on top of these beautiful linen garments embroidered with angels. And a covering of badger skins above that. And then on top of it all, there were these badger skins. And badger skins were ugly and dark and rough. They were durable, though, and they were waterproof. And that's one reason why they were over the top of it all. It's interesting. According to Ezekiel 16, verse 10, badger skin was used for sandals. That's how tough it was. It's also interesting that the word translated badger here may refer to porpoise skins. They're close to the sea at this point. We're not sure if that's true. The next few verses describe the frame on which these curtains rested. Verse 15. And of the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits or 15 feet shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half, 2 1/4 foot, shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And the word tenons literally means hands. They were the connectors. And so apparently these gold-plated boards were sort of like tongue and groove panels that fit together. Verse 18, and you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. Notice the boards sit on sockets of silver, and throughout the Bible, silver speaks of redemption. It's very important. In the Old Testament, the redemption price was always paid with silver. And thus, it's no surprise to see the tabernacle actually sitting on a foundation of silver. Verse 20. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards. And you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them. They shall be for the two corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each board. The long sides of the holy place consisted of 20 boards each. And since the tabernacle always faced east, the west side was the back, and it consisted of 6 boards and 2 corner boards. Verse 26, and you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. These bars provided the horizontal support for the sideboards. Now the middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. I hope you're not bored with this. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the boards, and overlay the bars with gold. Apparently these bars ran the length of the tabernacle side, turning the boards into a wall, making them sturdy. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. Now let's sort of sum things up at this point. The inner court, or the holy place, was rectangular, about the size of the brook. It was 15 feet wide by 45 feet long by 15 feet high. We haven't mentioned it yet, but its floor was dirt, which reminded the people of Israel that this world was not their home. For in the tabernacle, all of the beauty was above. It was over you. It was above you. There was no reason to ever look down in the tabernacle. The ceiling consisted of 4 layers: linen, then covered by goat's hair, then covered by ram skin, then covered by badger pelts. And the walls were made of wooden panels overlaid with gold. When you approached the tabernacle from the outside, it appeared ugly and dark and unimpressive. But from the inside of the tabernacle, oh, it was gorgeous and colorful and beautiful. The angels embroidered in the blue and purple and scarlet linen. It was a kaleidoscope of color and art and gold. And remember, the holy place was a picture of Jesus. Isaiah 53 verse 2 teaches us that Jesus, when he came, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, there was nothing physically attractive about the appearance of Jesus. You know, I think if you'd met Jesus, he looked like an ordinary guy. But on the inside, oh, he was beautiful. He was divine. He had an attractiveness that had to do with his purity. It had to do with the goldenness of his character. And you know, the same should be true of those who follow Jesus. On the outside, we may be less than impressive. You may just be an ordinary guy. But on the inside, spiritually speaking, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've been made fit for the very presence of God. And that's why you can't size us up by taking our measurements. Folks look at you, they look at me, they see nothing special, but they don't see who we are in Christ. I am God's work of art. You are God's work of art. And on the inside, he's making something beautiful and priceless in each of us. Well, the doors in the tabernacle are described next. Verse 31. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. Notice God is not against art. He commands art for the tabernacle. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon 4 sockets of silver, and you shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. Now, 30 feet into the holy place, Moses hangs this veil. It separated the holy place from the innermost court, which would then become a 15 by 15 by 15 cube, which was called the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all sanctums. It was where the ark sat in the presence of God hovered. Verse 34, you shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil And the lampstand across from the table of showbread, and the lampstand across from it, on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the tabernacle on the north, or put the table on the north side. And remember, the tabernacle always looked east. So inside the Holy of Holies, you saw the ark, while outside you saw the lampstand, the table of showbread, and they were separated by this veil. Only the high priest, we'll learn this later, could enter the Holy of Holies, could go into the presence of God, and then he could only do that once a year on the Day of Atonement. That veil stood as a separation between God and man. The problem is our sin, isn't it? Sin separates us from God, and that veil represented that separation that exists. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus died, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 tells us that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus atoned for our sin. He abolished this limited access between us and God. He opened the door into God's holiest. And in Christ, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can live in God's presence. It's also interesting, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, the veil is also representative of the body of Jesus. And the only way that we can come to God is to come through the torn and ripped flesh, the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Verse 36 describes the door that led from the outer court into the holy place. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Now, chapter 27 takes us into the outer court of the tabernacle. You shall make an altar of acacia wood. The Hebrew word translated altar means killing place. And thus, this was to be the place where the sacrifices were slain and offered to God. This altar was to be 5 cubits long, or 7.5 feet, and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits, or 4.5 feet. And over the next 500 years, millions of animals are going to die on this altar. And each time they die, they all are going to foreshadow the ultimate sacrifice. For our killing place is no longer this altar. God's killing place today is the cross of Calvary. For that is where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was killed and sacrificed so that we could be forgiven. He says, "Now you shall make its horns on its four corners. Its horn shall be of one piece with it." You could tie the sacrifice to these horns that were on these four corners to kind of keep it in place, you know, as it barbecued. "And you shall overlay it with bronze." Throughout the Bible, bronze speaks of God's judgment. And it was here on the altar that the sacrifice was made, that Israel's sin was judged. The wooden altar was also plated with bronze so it could withstand the tremendous heat that was necessary to burn the sacrifices. And so this brazen altar was the equivalent of a 7.5 foot square, 4.5 foot tall barbecue pit that traveled in the outer court of this tent. Verse 3. "Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels and its basins, and its forks and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze, and on the network you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. The poles shall be put in the rings, and the poles shall be on the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it was shown you on the mountain, so shall they make it." Again, as I've shown you, Moses, no freelancing here. Make it exactly according to the specs that I've given you. Verse 9 addresses the fence that lined the outer court. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long on one side, 150 feet. That's half of a football field. And its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be of silver. Apparently a linen fence was hung from 20 posts down the sides of this outer curtain. Likewise, along the length of the north side, there shall be hangings 100 cubits long with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits or 75 feet with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits or 22.5 feet. With their three pillars and their three sockets, and on the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits, with their three pillars or their three sockets, which meant that on the east side of the court, there was a 30-foot opening in this tabernacle. That was the gate through which you would enter from the camp of Israel into the courtyard of the tabernacle. Verse 16, for the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, or 30 feet, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, or 7.5 feet tall, made of fine woven thread and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for all its service, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. Approach the tabernacle, and you would see a white fence made of linen with posts and brass sockets and silver bands. The tents of Israel camped around the tabernacle were all made of dark goat's hair. And thus the fence surrounding the tabernacle was sparkling white, and it made for quite a contrast. Here's this white fence right in the middle of all these dark and rough tents, these dingy brown tents. This white fence spoke of God's righteousness. And it remained a constant reminder to the people of how their sin had affected them and how desperately they needed God's purity. It's also vital to note that there was only one door to the tabernacle. And likewise, there is only one way to God. In the New Testament, Jesus said, "I am the door." And it's also interesting to note that this one door was 30 feet wide. Now, if you've got a fence at home, you've probably got a gate, but I doubt if it's 30 feet wide. The wide gate to me conveys that there is plenty of room for all to enter. That everyone is invited to come to Christ and come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. And I think it's suggestive that the entrance into the tabernacle was on the east side of the camp, for that is where the tribe of Judah camped. So in other words, in order to pass into the tabernacle, you had to come through the tribe of Judah. And it's no coincidence that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. Well, verse 20 tells us, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually." He's talking about the fuel to burn in the golden menorah that will light the holy place. "And in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel."
That concludes the teaching portion of today's broadcast with Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us next time as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the book of Exodus. You can learn more about Pastor Sandy by visiting our website. The web address is sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. Simply click on the radio program option from the main menu. When you click on the radio program option at the website, you'll find today's message and many other messages from Pastor Sandy. You can download today's teaching, listen again, subscribe to the podcast, or browse the archive of messages. If you live in the Stone Mountain, Georgia area, or will be passing through, you can get directions and times of the services. Again, the website is sandyadams.org. We love hearing how God's Word touches the lives of His followers. So please log on to sandyadams.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us a note about how today's message has encouraged you. Your feedback helps us tremendously. Once again, you've been listening to the Daily Bible Teaching Program of Pastor Sandy Adams. Please tune in next time as we continue through the book of Exodus. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.